Bitches, welcome to episode 121 of C3 Crystals, Cauldrons, and Cocktails. I'm River.
And I'm Ren.
And today we're going to talk about feng shui, which is something that we've been wanting to do for a long time.
Yeah.
I've come to the conclusion after doing these notes that feng shui is magic. It is 100% magic. So
I feel like after we do all of our notes, we're like, whoa, this is magic. Even like our quantum theorem.
Yeah, whatever it's magic. Episode that was, it's witchcraft. We're
like, that's magic. But first, what are we drinking?
So today we're drinking the Frozen Paradise, which I know doesn't sound very witchy, but it is so good.
And it doesn't sound very wintry either while we're in like the midst of winter.
I know. Usually we're drinking warm drinks or drinks that make you warm. Yeah,
and like Frozen Paradise to me sounds like, you know, on the lines of like a pina colada, a strawberry daiquiri. In the middle of winter.
I know, but it's got ice. Like you put 4 cups of ice in a blender and then Bailey's Irish cream, vodka, and hot chocolate mix. And you blend it up in the blender and it comes out to like a slushy consistency. And it is so good.
Sort of like an alcoholic milkshake type of vibe.
Yes, exactly.
But like not entirely like a mudslide.
No, not like a mudslide.
Not like a mudslide, because I know people are going to be like, oh, it's like a mudslide. No, it's not like a mudslide.
And it depends on your hot chocolate mix, too, because you can have mint chocolate, you know, in your hot chocolate mix. Like I put chocolate chips in all of my homemade chocolate mix.
Oh, yeah.
And you can do white chocolate. You can do mint chocolate.
I have been on a white chocolate kick. So good. So good.
And so you can change this up.
I've never been one to like white chocolate, and I've been on a white chocolate kick.
I know your husband likes white chocolate.
He does like white chocolate. And so we always tend to have it in the house. And then when we didn't have any of my normal chocolate or I was wanting something sweet, I was like, fine, I'll freaking have white chocolate. I hate white chocolate. And it's actually very good. I never really get it.
It is very good. I like all the chocolates. Okay. So what is feng shui?
Yes.
So National Geographic says feng shui is an ancient Chinese art of arranging buildings, objects, and space in an environment to achieve harmony and balance in a way that will bring peace and prosperity, which I like that definition. I think I like it the best of all the definitions that I've come up with.
Yes.
Because, you know, a lot of us, we think, oh, feng shui, that's where you put your couch, right? You know, and it's so much more than that.
It very much is.
And it's not just your house.
I love feng shui.
Buildings.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love anything to do with interior design, basically. I really love the idea of interior design. And so one of the things of interior design that I really love is creating it's not just an inside space. You can do it with the buildings. It's about architecture as well. And when I think of interior design, or when I think of creating a space that you want to live in, like literally how you decorating and design is different, but when you decorate and when you do all of that, you're creating a space that you want to be in. And so
but
when
on the design level, you do it from
the
decorations inside,
and like the shape,
you do it with
and
the
whole, size and all everything.
Yeah.
And the one thing that comes to mind is balance, because you always want to have some sort of balance and some sort of comfort to what your environment is.
Well, what I've learned from this is that feng shui goes all the way down to a room in the house, to the whole floor of a house, to all the floors of your house, to where the houses are in a neighborhood. To where, how a city is laying out. And it's from this tiny little, it fits all of those things, which is just blew my mind.
I love feng shui. And it's also how your house is oriented with the sun and what rooms and everything, how am I supposed to explain this? So how the sun hits each room of your house throughout the day. So if you have a morning den, you want your morning den to be in a part where the sun rises. So you get that morning sun, if that makes sense.
Well, and think about in witchcraft, the directions mean so much, so many different things. There's connotations and correspondences. And feng shui is like, well, duh, yeah. And yeah. So as I was doing this, I'm like, it is witchcraft. Feng shui is witchcraft.
Okay. So would you say feng shui is witchcraft, or how am I supposed to say this? In my brain, it's making sense, but I don't know if it'll make sense when I say it out loud. So we are all one collective being on this planet. And mm-hmm. so feng shui is just one of those elements that we have, along with being able to live with what the earth has given us and mm-hmm. What we do with it, creating balance and harmony, et cetera. And I think witchcraft is one of those things. I don't know if feng shui is witchcraft, but they are two key elements that work together.
I agree. And just like I think witchcraft is something that everybody could do if they mm-hmm. just paid attention, mm-hmm. feng shui is something that everybody could do if they would just pay attention.
I feel like in a way, everybody does a type of witchcraft, whatever you call it. Witchcraft can be...
Right. It's just a term.
Yeah, it is just a term. So it's however you... Because even people who pray to a specific god,
right.
whether mm-hmm. that's, you know, the universal known god or a deity, or mm-hmm. if you believe in other gods, etc., praying in a sense is a way of manifestation. It's a way of,
correct.
You know, connecting with a deity or a higher being.
It's and witchcraft.
It's in our definition, witchcraft, but in their
that's
definition,
the
it's something else.
Yeah.
But it's all universally the same. In my opinion.
I agree.
That's my opinion.
I think you're brilliant. I think that is very smart.
See, said here on the podcast on the day that we're recording, I'm brilliant. Ren is brilliant.
Absolutely.
Quote Ren. I mean, okay. River, not me. How much have I?
Well, you can quote yourself if you want. I know, right?
Myself, yes. Okay. Anyways,
it's all me, myself, and I.
Me,
we're
myself,
this discussion,
and I.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know,
I'm brilliant.
A more spiritual definition is, it says that the meaning can be broken down into the Chinese word feng or feng, which means wind, and mm-hmm. shui, which means water. So it's wind and water. The concept is derived from an ancient poem that talks about human life as being connected to and flowing with the environment around it, which is kind of what you were talking about.
Yes.
It is also another definition. It is the practice of arranging pieces, like furniture pieces, in living spaces to create balance with the natural world. This is what it means to feng shui your home. Mm-hmm. The goal is to harness the energy forces and to establish harmony between an individual and their environment. And Wikipedia says it's sometimes called Chinese geomancy. It is an ancient Chinese traditional practice which claims to use energy forces to harmonize individuals with their surrounding environment. There are so many different ways of defining what feng shui is. Mm-hmm. The art of placing and situating objects, so again, like your sofa, so that they are in harmony with their surroundings, but it could also be that statue that's put in the middle of a park. It's positioned to bring peace and harmony with the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Feng shui actually believes that every object is living and has its own life and energy force, which I think is very cool, and that its harmony depends on its placement in its physical surroundings. So I never really thought of my couch as being living, but, you know, I think things do have their own energies.
They do. They really do. I'm a big, I don't want to say feng shui person, but
she
I am.
Is,
there's
though.
A different,
yeah.
like, mm-hmm. I don't want to have any disrespect on the term if there is
right.
any
right.
type of cultural, like
attachment
understanding that
yeah.
I don't
mm-hmm.
know, et cetera, but mm-hmm. I do really believe in what feng shui means. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of what I do with my interior of my apartment is, quote, feng shui, but not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
and so
think about it.
Think when you put things in specific spaces
yeah.
of your house, you feel differently. And so
yeah,
each
if you
of those
have a
are
couch
a different energy.
And you place your couch and you block your walkway, it makes you feel stifled. And, you know, if you move it and there's
yeah.
a clean walkway, then you feel open and airy
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you know, like I love the open concept houses. I want a house whenever we move into our next house someday. I would love to have that open concept from kitchen to living room with the dining room, all of
oh,
that
yeah.
open.
Mm-hmm.
to me, that's a great energy flow.
Yes.
And walls to me tend to block that energy. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Feng shui, let's see. It is most often used in terms of space design, like you were talking about, mm-hmm. whether for your office or your home or whatever space you're talking about. But it can definitely bring more energy into your witchy practice spaces as well, like your altar room, your garden, and more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why are we even talking about feng shui? Why? What does it
we're talking about it because we like it.
Well, we do like it.
It's our podcast. Come on, we can talk about whatever we want.
For other people should be interested in this too, because you know, if you use feng shui, it can create deeper connections with your environment. It mm-hmm. can make you feel more grounded, more present. It can help reduce anxiety and worry. And likewise, if you're not doing it right, it could increase anxiety and worry. Mm-hmm. It can promote better sleep with a better upgraded bedroom layout. It can empower you to manifest change, which as a witch, you know, that's what we do.
Pretty important. Yeah.
Yeah. It creates balance. It boosts your mood. It helps you to attract the things that you're wanting to bring to you. It eliminates negativity and it creates a healthy environment. All of that sounds witchy. I mean,
sounds great.
To me, that is witchy.
Sounds like a healthy lifestyle.
And one article I read called Feng Shui, the New Witchcraft.
Oh,
but
okay.
First of all, neither feng shui nor witchcraft are new. I mean, they're both very ancient practices. So.
I guess that's true. At first, I was like, okay, that sounds, you know, like, I mean, it caught your eye, didn't it?
It did. And I get what they're trying to say is that, you know, witchcraft apparently right now is all the rage, which anyway, that's a thing.
I mean, you could say our podcast is all the rage too, because we kind of came out with our podcast in the midst of this witchcraft boom.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's not just, a trend to be witchy. I think people are actually realizing this is a thing. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think we're having more and more witches appear now. Some of them have been in the closet because of our society. Yeah.
You guys all need to listen to our podcast, by the way. How do we get it out to every witch in the world?
Yeah, for sure. Share it for us. And
we're pretty funny.
Help us. We think we're funny. I'm not sure that our audience would agree.
We're pretty informational.
But, you know, I thought that was interesting that mm-hmm. feng shui is the new witchcraft.
Witchcraft. Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what are the basics of feng shui? So to begin with, you have to understand the concept of yin and yang, the mm-hmm. yin and yang energies. That's what you were talking about, balance.
Yes.
They're opposites. Both the yin and yang energies have their polarity. Yin is negative and yang is positive. And both are necessary to you. You can't be on an all-time high all the time. Mm-hmm. And you can't be on an all-time low all the time. You've got to have that harmony and balance.
Mm-hmm.
Yin is the passive and quiet energy and represents darkness, cold, creativity, fertility, intuition, and femininity. It is also known as the moon energy.
Ooh, okay.
And yang is a more outward energetic energy, and it represents light and hot and activeness and logic and masculinity. And it's known as the sun energy.
It's giving like, what am I trying to say? Like extrovert and introvert.
It is kind mm-hmm. of.
That's immediately what I thought about.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you always need to have that balance of you being extroverted and you being introverted at the, mm-hmm. like, can't always be alone like a hermit crab in your own house, no matter how much you want to be. We all mm-hmm. need to thrive on that socialization
external,
and that, mm-hmm. that energy. So
yeah, balance is key. That's mm-hmm. exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Too much of the yin, which is the calm energy, can turn your space into a snooze fest. So you just sit around and you can't get motivated and you just like blah.
Mm-hmm.
And too much yang, which is the active energy, can give it that energy drink jitter vibe where you're like, oh my God, got to do stuff. Got to go. So finding that sweet spot is like discovering, as I like to think, the perfect cocktail.
Oh gosh.
Not too sweet, not too tart. And that's very much the balance part of feng shui.
Mm-hmm.
Qi is another important concept. And this is what I think is what I define as the magic.
Okay.
Qi is, it refers to that vital life force or energy, which is what I think witches work with when they, when we do our witchcraft.
Okay.
I think we are tapping into qi. Now, qi could be internal and I think external. Don't know how much debate there is on that, but that's the energy force that feng shui taps into to make things harmonious.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the next thing that you have to know is something called the commanding position, which you, knowing all your interior designing, probably know, but I had never heard of this before.
Mm-hmm.
The commanding position is the spot in a room that is furthest from the door and not in direct line with it.
Hmm.
So like in your apartment, you come in the front door. If you don't go out of the main room, then it would be that back corner by your back door. But if you use your whole apartment, it would be the back corner in your bedroom.
Okay.
But it's not in direct line with it. So no. The furthest from your door is going to be, I think, in that front room, that corner.
Hmm. That's and the that's, corner I don't know what to do with.
Yeah, see, and that's so funny because that's supposedly the commanding position in your that room.
I need to it puts do you, something then.
Yeah, it puts you diagonal to the door, and ideally you should have clear line of sight to the door, mm-hmm. and it's where you want to spend most of your time in a room.
Well, I mean, technically that's like my living room.
It is, and you just put up shelves over there, which is interesting because when you showed me the pictures of them, I felt like it wasn't a calmness. It just felt right.
Yes, and that's that. Whenever I do anything to my house, my poor husband, whenever I do anything to my house, our house, I suppose, it's always about a feeling, not about, oh, does that look okay? It's always about if it feels right.
Yeah.
There.
And I felt that when you showed me that those mm-hmm. shelves that you put up, they're on the two, mm-hmm. you know, two are on one wall and one's on the other. And it just felt right.
Yeah.
I saw that. And that's your commanding position.
I can always add more. But right now it's kind of like in a limbo space because it's still a work in progress. I had other artwork on that wall and I didn't like it anymore. You know,
well, you had your Christmas tree there too, which
I did have my Christmas tree. Yes.
And that made your space feel very homey. It was comforting mm-hmm. to come to your apartment and have that Christmas tree in that corner.
It was very nice.
You didn't know what you were doing when you were doing that. That is the commanding position
room. We played around with the location of stuff in our house, me mm-hmm. mostly, because I like to rearrange mm-hmm. everything, feng shui type of vibe, I guess,
mm-hmm.
to just see what feels right. And our living room had been set up in the opposite way of what it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And our couch, it still blocks it off because we have an L couch and it doesn't mm-hmm. quite fit on that little short wall by our back door. And so it's kind of jutting out into the middle of our space, but in a way it creates a individual space that's in its own. Like that's a boundary to where that's like, okay, that's the start of the living room.
Well, see, and feng shui could be that little area mm-hmm. that the couch is now delineating as a wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that makes your separate area, like where you're podcasting from right now, your dining area, which is a mm-hmm. separate area.
Yes. Yes. So it's, yes. Anyways.
So, I mean, basically, it's important that your bed, your desk, and your stove, these are the three central things to our human selves, apparently, okay. are all in command positions. Since each of these items represents a significant aspect of our lives. So the bed represents us, apparently, individually.
Okay.
The stove represents your wealth and resources.
Ooh, okay.
And the desk represents your career path and path in life.
Okay.
So fascinating to me. I had never, which is why we wanted to do this.
Tell me
podcast.
More. Tell me more so I can make more money and I can have a better like aspect in my life, whatever it may be.
For sure.
In my career, because my desk right now is a kitchen table.
Yeah, to place your bed, desk, and stove in command, you have to find a location in the room where the following things are true. When you're sitting at your desk, lying in your bed, or cooking, you can see the door without being directly in line with it. Now, in your bedroom, you can see your bedroom door. And at your desk, you can see your door because it's your kitchen table.
Which door? And like the outside door?
I think the front door.
So from our bed, we have to be able to see the front door or our door?
I think probably in a bedroom, you don't want to be able to see the front door because that would be weird unless you're in a loft apartment or what is it called? An efficiency apartment. And when your stove is also within, you can see the, I mean, not when you're standing facing the
stove. Like if I'm cooking at it, then I can't see it because it's to my like side.
Side and back a little bit.
So is that the reason why I'm having financial troubles? Because my stove isn't in command?
Maybe. I mean, okay, so what is in command in your kitchen?
Nothing.
It would be those back cabinets. Yeah, because it's not your sink. That back window. I don't know. Okay, so the second thing you have to have is you have to have a good view of anyone or anything that could be coming through the door. That's why having the line of sight to the door is important. It helps you feel more at ease on a subconscious level. I think that goes back to our early days as humanoids. We always needed to be aware of what could be coming, what was danger. And so placing these things where you're in direct line of sight gives you a position of power. You know how sometimes employers will sit in chairs that are taller
and have bigger chairs.
So it puts them in a position of power.
They always have the bigger desk, like the bigger desks and better stuff.
Yeah. And it's trying to give a position of power to them. And in our case, to our bed or to our table or desk or whatever. It also means that you're more aware of potential opportunities that might be coming towards you, like metaphorically. You know, the next thing you need to know after the command position is the bagua, if I pronounce that correctly. The bagua or bagua, I don't know. It's the feng shui energy map that is superimposed onto your floor plan of your home. And you can find this online. Google. It's B-A-G-U-A, Bagua, Bagua. And it's an actual map. And the Chinese word Bagua translates to eight areas. So each of these eight areas relates to a different life circumstance, like your family, wealth, career. And each of these areas has corresponding shapes, colors, seasons, numbers, and earthly elements to them. So you kind of imagine your home as this cosmic game board, and this map is your cheat code, your secret cheat code. And it breaks down your space into these eight zones plus one in the middle, which is the ninth area, and that represents your overall wellness. So the easiest way to incorporate the bagua or bagua into your life and to feng shui your home is to identify one or two of these areas that need the most attention. You don't want to attempt to do all nine of these areas at once because it would be too much. So you want to strengthen your energy to improve flow to those particular areas that you are wanting to work on in your life and incorporate feng shui tips into that particular area. So one of the areas, I meant to copy a copy of the map so I could talk about which was where. I don't think I did. I did not. But if you want to look it up, Google that and you can see it. So the eight ones are, you've got family, wealth, health, helpful people, children, knowledge, fame, career, and partnership. So for instance, family, if that's one of the ones that you want to work on, it represents not just family, but also new beginnings. The shapes that you would want to use in that area of your home would be column type shapes. columnar. How do you say that? Columnistic.
Columns. Don't, yeah.
Column shape.
Columnar.
There's a word for that, but I don't
columnar,
know what it is.
Column. No idea. Column then, circular shapes.
Yes. Or rectangular shapes. And the colors are greens, blues, and teal. The season is spring. And the number is 4. And the element is yang wood. So okay. I would think, okay, so number one, my question is, so should we only work on family in the spring because that's the season that it works with?
Maybe.
You know, I mean, you change your house around all the time. So maybe it is something that we would do by season. Because like wealth is also a spring one. The wealth part represents wealth, abundance, and prosperity. Its shapes are the same, columns and rectangles. But its color is purple. The season is spring. And the number is 5. But its element is yin wood as opposed to the yang wood.
And I
then
don't know.
Health is... It's interesting because you use it during transitions between the seasons. But it's also usually the center.
I mean, I would think if you're going to be focusing on, so maybe it's a type of thing where you don't just focus on it in the season that it's allocated for. Maybe that's when you do like the feng shui, whatever it may be, where you have all these things to... I'm trying to set forth a precedent, like to set forth your expectations for the coming year, for the rest of the year.
Okay.
Maybe. So maybe it's like if I work on family in the spring, it will prosper into the fall and winter and fall and winter.
What if you want to work on wealth in the fall? When it's associated with spring, does that create a problem? I don't know. This is very... Feng shui is so much more in depth than I had any idea that it was. It very interesting. For health, the shape is flat or square. Colors are brown, orange, and yellow, and its number is 5, and the element is earth.
Define flat, shape flat.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like any shape, but like two-dimensional, like flat?
I don't know. And I was also thinking of like paint colors, you know, how they have glossy and flat.
Oh,
I mean,
that
were they talking
too,
about
yeah.
that kind of flat?
Or
I don't know.
Or flat as in like, you know, paintings are flat on the wall.
That's true too. Okay. Yeah. So interesting. And then helpful people represents not just helpful people, but benefactors, which we could all use more of. Like with us, it's our patrons. Our patrons are our benefactors. And it also represents travel. Its shape is circular and spherical. The colors are gray and metallics. Its season is fall. The number is 6. So like if given the number, so do we put like 6 candles together in that area?
Oh,
and
probably.
That would represent the number 6 or...
Yeah. Yeah, or
if whatever.
If you're working with spherical shapes, you may have 6 of them or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a candle, a pillar candle would be a column for the other ones.
That's true for health, family, for family.
And then the element for helpful people is yang metal.
Okay.
Yeah, their elements are a little bit different than witchcraft elements. They're not
earth, fire, air.
Yeah. I mean, water. It does have some of those, but
because I mean,
it's
basically metal is earth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a specific type
they do
of
it they separate that out.
Yeah.
The next section is children, which represents not just children, because some people don't have children, don't want children, or their children are grown, or they haven't contemplated children yet. So it's not just about children. It's about completion and joy as well.
Okay. I mean, I could see that because children have a naive sense of joy and happiness.
Joy about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And the shapes are circular and spherical. The colors are white and metallics. They don't know my kids, because when I have kids, you can't have white anywhere in the house. White is a no-no. The season is autumn. The number is 7. And the element is yin metal.
Okay.
The next one is knowledge. It represents knowledge, self-cultivation, and skillfulness. The shape is flat and square. The color is dark blue. It's also in the season between seasons, the transitions between seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Its number is 8, and the element is yang, earth. The next thing to work on is flame. It represents, flame. Wow.
Flame. Same thing.
Fire witch in me came out. Fame, reputation, passion, and visibility. The shapes are triangular and pointy. The colors are red. The season is summer. The element is fire. That's where I got fire from. And the number is 9.
Okay.
Career talks about career and your path in life. The shapes are wavy and curvy. The color is black. The season is winter.
Wow.
Season and winter came out as center. Number is 1, and the element is water.
The
drinks are hitting me now. Okay. And then the last one is partnerships, which is like actual partnerships, marriage, self-care. Flat and square, pink, the transitions between the seasons, the number is 2, and the element is yin, earth. So
okay.
let me tell you a little bit about how their elements work. The 5 elements of feng shui are earth, metal, water, wood, and fire. And that comes from the Taoist tradition.
Okay.
And these elements are interrelated to the phases in your life and that work together to create a complete system. So typically, when you feng shui your home, you're balancing those things: earth, metal, water, wood, and fire.
Okay.
So you kind of picture it like choosing your Hogwarts house, but for furniture. You add a splash of each element, kind of like creating that magical cocktail, like I like to do, for your space. So
feng shui of magical cocktails.
Yeah. I was reading this one website, and this guy's like, I have a true story. He said, I placed a metal desk in my office and suddenly I felt like I had superhero level focus. Iron Man, eat your heart out. But as weird as that was, it was kind of funny, I thought. But, you know, metal is an element that he brought into his office by making an actual metal desk. There's so many different ways to incorporate these things. Like, I've got some statues of dragons that are made out of wood, which mm-hmm. are fun. So now I can use that as the wood element in feng shui.
Yeah.
Her cat just bit her, you all.
Yeah. my cat is sitting in front of the camera and I'm petting her, and then she just went, like, bit me, and I'm trying not to distract.
That's funny. So for earth, it's just like in witchcraft. It's grounded. You feel grounded. It's self-care, stability. The earth is related to boundaries and nourishment, which boundaries, I think, are a huge part of self-care. It's connected to earthy colors like yellow, orange, and brown. Very, very similar to what our earth is to us in witchcraft. Metal, which I was curious about this, because for us, metal is considered earth, but for yes. feng shui, metal is, it says metal has the qualities of joy, beauty, and precision. To add metal to your space, you could try adding like a metallic planter or a metallic light fixture. Water, it represents downward flowing, shifting. And it says it represents a deep wisdom and connection to others. It's tied to black, very dark blue, and wavy shapes. So you can add water to your home in a form of maybe water, a fountain. You know, they have those little tabletop fountains that are so cool. Mm-hmm. Or artwork with water in it. You could do that to water element into
If you have a cat, maybe you have a running water fountain for them.
That's true. That's
we have
true.
One. It's very quiet, so you don't hear it. But
and they love it, though.
Oh, cats she loves it.
Love the moving water for some reason. Our cat loves it. We used to have one of those and it broke. The filter got all gunked up. I guess we didn't clean it like we were supposed to, or I don't know. It was cheap. So we ended up having to throw it away. And so now I have to turn on the faucet in the sink to a really low drip and he'll, you know, a little stream and he'll stand on the sink and drink the flowing water out of the, Yeah, I know I'm weird.
Yeah, no, our cat, she wouldn't drink the water that was set out for her. She would always drink our dog's water. So it was like
funny.
And our dog didn't want her water. She wanted our cat's water.
Oh, how funny.
So when we finally got this water fountain thing for them, and it's like filtrated water and everything. And they both love it. Like they barely touch their
water. Do they share
water.
The same one?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to get a new one, a better one. I need to find out from you, not that we're advertising this or anything, but I need to find out from you what you use.
No,
and get
this
one
one's
for
actually
our cat.
Very nice because apparently it's, well, knock on wood, because apparently it's like antibacterial. It's a specific
the
type
problem
of
we had.
Like plastic on the bottom. And then the inside, like the fountain faucet part is stainless steel. And so that's like really good for like getting rid of and easily cleaning.
Yeah, ours was a really cheap one.
And there's like a filter in it.
Well, yeah. I mean, we cleaned the filter and everything, but there were parts that we couldn't reach.
Well, there's like two filters in it. There's a filter over the part that takes up the water. And then there's a filter where the water falls back down into the water where it came from.
Okay. I'll talk to you more about that later. We got to get back
water
to feng shui.
Wow.
If any of you all want to know what this type of water fountain is for your cat, let us know and we'll tell you. The next element, wood, its qualities are expansive, vitality, and upward. It is related to growth, healing, and vitality, which that makes sense to me, I guess. House plants, obviously, are the number one way to bring wood into your home. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes me think of bamboo. I love the look of bamboo. And I would love to have like a bamboo plant in the house, but I don't know how that would work because I've never grown bamboo before.
Well, they
I
sell,
mean, out
like,
in the wild, it's super tall.
Yeah, they have like these, like, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Greg.
I know, I was just thinking of Greg too.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that bamboo can outgrow the habitat that it's in.
So if we put
like
it
other
in
plants. So yeah, if you put it in like a smaller pot, I don't think it'll outgrow that pot.
Because I love the look of bamboo. Maybe. I just love bamboo for some reason. I don't know why.
I think it would be really pretty if you had like a really long pot, I guess, like a long
like
square
a long
pot.
Narrow one.
Yeah, and then put a like and then have them grow up from there. I don't know how long and tall.
So
it would
beautiful.
Be pretty. Mm-hmm. And then you could use it as a wall in your house to create a boundary. Boom, bam, feng shui.
Boom, bam, feng shui. The last of the five qualities of feng shui is fire, and it represents passion, inspiration, and visibility. And light is connected to the fire element. So you can use light or lamps to add that feng shui fire element to your home. So,
or candles.
Let's talk
about candles.
I think so too. I think candles for sure.
Yeah.
And then you can also get that with the shape, depending on which thing you're trying to bring in
and color, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We love candles.
Oh,
here.
For sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about our houses. That's pretty much how most of us are going to probably put the feng shui stuff that we're learning about today into practice. Mm-hmm. So the basics, your main doorway, you want to keep your main entryway free of clutter. There is nothing worse than walking into a house and having all your shit just piled there. The moment you walk into your house, you feel stressed. Mm-hmm. You're like, you know, if it's cluttered. So yeah, you want to have your that way. Wow. The entryway free of clutter. Wow.
Okay.
The living room. There should be ample seating. The seating should be facing each other with no backs to the entryway, which that can be hard in some.
It really can be. Mm-hmm.
You know, like your floor plan, it would be nearly impossible to not have some kind of chair facing the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have chairs facing each other, and so do we in our house.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The kitchen, what's important about your kitchen is that you maintain cleanliness. That's the big mm-hmm. thing there, mm-hmm. which my husband does our kitchen. He is a clean freak. So he cleans. I do all the cooking. Well, I don't even do all the cooking anymore. I do a lot of the cooking and he does the cleaning. So our kitchen is always spotless.
Mm-hmm.
Bathroom. It says to keep your bathroom door closed and your toilet seat closed.
Well, I always have my bathroom door open and my toilet seat open.
Same here. I never knew anything.
Because I mean, it's otherwise. It's literally just my husband and I, and so we just leave the bathroom door open. Yeah. Even when we both go to the bathroom, it's the door is open, and then we always leave the toilet seat up. Or open.
Some of these things, I was like, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, it may be feng shui, but that's not going to work for me.
I don't know. I guess I could open I could close the toilet.
Yeah,
I guess. I mean, we do.
One of my friends who has a cat,
every now and then,
if she doesn't close her toilet, her cat sleeps in the toilet. So she's gotten used to it. I know. So I always have to remember whenever I go over to her house to close the toilet, or the cat will end up sleeping in the toilet.
But right, I mean that's not like a really bad thing. But you know, I have really bad stomach problems, and if I'm in a rush to get to the toilet, yeah. I can't have it not be open.
Yeah, let me in right now.
Exactly.
And then your bedroom. This was interesting to me. It said avoid storing items under your bed.
Shoot.
I know. You guys have no storage whatsoever. You've got to use every space that you've got. I store stuff under our bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we bought these special little bags to keep everything because we had those air vacuum sealed tight bags before.
Yeah.
They didn't work as much. I mean, they kept sealed. They did keep sealed, but there were so many bags underneath our bed that it was like, it was just chaos under there.
And you can't tell by looking at them what they are.
You'd have to pull everything out and it gets dusty under there, especially like we have hard floors. I know you guys have carpet, but like we have hard floors and everything gets swept up under there, like dust, everything, cat hair, dog hair, everything. And so I just finally broke down. I pulled everything out. I took everything out of the bags that were under there. And I ordered off of Amazon these cloth, large, rectangular zipper pouches.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And there's three of them under the bed. And I think I could probably fit another one. I do have a spare one that I could probably fit under there long ways. But they have been the best thing for us in storage.
I mean, I think so, too. And to me, it's not visible to have, you know, when you store under the bed. Like some of the things that they're saying is blocks feng shui or is not good, I can understand because it's a physical barrier and you want the energy to flow. But I don't understand the putting things under the bed unless they want the energy to be able to flow around
underneath
the bed.
Yeah, I could see that. But I don't know. We can't do that in this house, at least. And our cat's favorite napping spot is under there on a blanket.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can't quite make it completely empty.
Cats are dorbs.
Mm-hmm.
So for energies to flow around your home, you go ahead and clear out any clutter and rid yourself of anything that you don't love, that you don't like anymore. This is actually very therapeutic in and of itself. And, you know, it's a new, not a new thing, but it's a relatively... It became popular on TikTok with this woman. She was like, you know, look at this item. If you don't absolutely love it, if you don't have a use for
it. Yes, I remember that.
Get rid of it.
But I have a problem with that because even if I don't love it, I always will be like, but I can find another spot for it later.
Well, I feel like a dragon. I think I posted a meme on Facebook that really sums up me. Every time I go in to declutter, I end up finding all these things that I forgot I had that I love. And then I lay there like a dragon amongst my hoard of riches and nothing ever gets thrown away.
The hoard of riches. I love that.
But spring is supposedly the season of renewal. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I say supposedly, it is. It is the season of renewal and the perfect time to declutter, you know, be ruthless at that time, make way for the new. I actually like winter. There's something about that cold, frigid air that makes me feel crisp and clean and revived and ready to go. I like mm-hmm. to clean in the winter. But how do you apply this to our practice? So we're getting back to the witchy part of this.
Yes.
So your witch room, hopefully you have a witch room. I've been looking at my room that I do. I have several, this poor little room has several jobs that it has to do, but I'm wanting to repaint the walls. And I've already looked at this artwork I found on Etsy with these black candles and the wax dripping down, and it's kind of goth looking. And I've got Ooh. My cauldron pictures, and one of my friends gave me some witch pictures. I'm ready to get this room set up as an entire witch room.
Okay.
Some people can't do that. Your whole apartment is your witch room.
Yes.
Some people just have an altar in their room, but whatever. But so you want to at least, depending on what, you know, whether it's a big room, a small space, whatever, you want to create a sacred space where you can meditate, where you can journal, where you can do self-care rituals, you can practice your witchcraft, all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So mindfully choose a spot of your home that resonates with you and makes you feel particularly happy and serene. Make sure that this corner is well taken care of. Add objects to that area that elevate your mood and calm your mind. Spend time in this corner, and that's going to help you produce the good chi inside of your home, raising your vibration and raising the vibration of the whole space. If you're happy, that's going to seep out into your space, and your whole space will feel happy.
Mm-hmm.
Light, bright, happy colors, candles, incense, plants. A lot of witches are green witches, so plenty of healthy plants.
Mm-hmm.
Crystals will help you make the most of this area that you claim as your own witchy spot. Some people do it in a closet. Some people do it in a closet. Okay. Sorry, my brain just went.
What do you mean?
Never mind. My brain went to the gutter.
The broom closet?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. I get it. No, okay. I get what you're in. I didn't know if you were doing a witchy joke or the joke that I thought you were doing. And
no,
it was just a sex joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, some people actually do use their closet as their altar. I mean, it's a great, mm-hmm. especially people, witches that are still in the closet, back to the closet thing, they can just close the door and no one will know that comes over that mm-hmm. they're a witch if they aren't able to let that be known.
Yeah.
So a closet might be the spot, but keep that area clean and fresh. Doing that will help it accumulate positive energy. It'll help you rewire. It'll be your go-to place for you. And that creates good feelings in you, and those vibes then come out into your home.
Mm-hmm.
Gemstones are important. They can completely change the chi in the room. They are incredibly high vibrational objects, as we've talked about before, like the clear quartz, that absorb and ward off any kind of negative energy. And of course, each crystal has its own correspondences that you can work with to add to your spot. They have healing energies. Feng shui crystals are welcome in all bagua mm-hmm. areas of your home and can be used to increase and support the energy flow, remove toxic energy, and to be the anchor of peace in a chaotic and otherwise, you know, that raucous world that's out there outside our doors. These gems can help bring peace and tranquility inside, away from that. So do your research on which crystals you might need for your space. If you're unsure which ones that can help you in feng shui, then opt for crystals like amethyst, you know, good for those hangovers.
Oh, gosh.
Rose quartz. Black tourmaline. Clear quartz is, I think, isn't that, didn't we talk about that on one of our episodes as being the utmost high vibrational Crystal, I feel like we did.
Maybe. I don't quite remember.
I don't either. We talk a lot, y'all.
We do.
And they're
not everything
incredible.
Gets absorbed properly.
No, it goes in one ear
one
and,
ear
out,
and
the
out the other. I'm like, oh, I knew that information at one point. Do I know it now? No.
But crystals are really good for magnifying positive chi. Create yourself a wealth corner.
Ooh, okay.
I like to do this during the Chinese New Year time of year. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, they have the red envelopes, which signify money and yep. all kinds of fun things. And so create a wealth corner is a great way to invite abundance and prosperity. So on your map that you all have looked up now on Google, it's in the upper left corner of the map, and it's associated with the wood element and is believed to be the most auspicious corner for attracting and generating wealth. So that's where you're going to want to set up your little wealth corner.
Okay.
And decorate this segment of your house with healthy plants. Use tips and tricks from Google that you can find on the, there's so much more information out there. It would take us years. We could do an entire podcast just on feng shui and have a new episode every week, honestly. But it can help you, feng shui can help you create a positive environment that can improve the way we relate to money. It can also help you become a magnet for financial prosperity, which a lot of us need.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a good place to start. I mean, to stop. Oh my gosh. I hope you edit out a whole bunch of these things that I've said. I've just been really.
No, I'm going to leave it. It's funny.
Okay. I don't know that our listeners will think so, but yeah, it's been one of those days.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to stop it there. This episode has been a little bit long and we still have a lot more information. So we're just going to make it into a two-parter.
Yes.
Yay. I know you love having to wait a week for information. Woo.
It's so fun though, guys. There's so much to talk about.
There is a lot and we want to do it justice. So that's why we are splitting it into two. So we don't have to rush on any of our information. So thank you so much for listening. If you guys want to know more about our podcast and anything, just go to www.c3witchypodcast.com. There we have links to all of our social media, and YouTube is one of our important ones right now that I want to draw your attention to.
That's what we're working on. Mm-hmm. Yes. We're working on that one.
Hit a certain amount of hours watched and subscribers to be able to become monetized and hopefully do this full time. That is key. Mm-hmm. And so YouTube is one of those keys to getting us there. So please go over there and subscribe, comment, like our videos, watch our videos. Anything helps. If you want to find out more about how to support us, you can go to our Buzzsprout and Patreon section on our website, and there it'll tell you everything about it and what you get with each. Mm-hmm. And then you can also shop our merch. You can go straight from our website, and it literally says shop merch exclamation point at the top of the screen, or you can go to www.c3witchypodcastmerch.com. We have launched new merch for the spring.
Yay!
Yes,
new spring stuff. Yeah.
This one is lasting a little bit longer because we do want to make it through the spring instead of just through, you know, winter and then fall. Mm-hmm. So we have designed, a normal, like, you know, what we've been doing, which is we each do an after dark design. We each do a normal witchy design. And then this time we've split into two, since our spring, like from now to spring, we celebrate two Sabbats. So we've split into which ones we got to design. So I designed Ostara and River designed In Bulk. And so we have two really nice designs there. If you want to go check it out, our merch site is on our website. And I think I covered everything.
That's it. We're starting to blog more. So come check out our blog.
Yes.
We're working really hard on trying to be very active and get our podcast out there. So if you can share anything
with other people, tell
your friends about us, that would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So that is all we have. We'll be back.
We'll be back.
And until then, stay witching.